Well, to step out in faith requires that we see ourselves connected to God's faith. And many times we talk about having faith in God, but I like the idea of having faith with God. So it's not about me trying to reach to some God that's somewhere out there, but connecting with that sense that that presence of God that's everywhere is there to bless us, to support us, to energize us, to renew us, to strengthen us, and we have faith with that, then we're renewed and we're strengthened. We have all those gifts of Spirit working in us in life. On Mother's Day, it's always interesting to talk to people about their experience because we all had different experiences with our mothers and a range of experiences with our mothers. And to recognize whenever anybody says something about, well, you know, I had a difficult time with my mother and it's still a hard time, I said, well, my mother's dead, you know. so you know, and it's easy to idealize someone they're gone, but we recognize that as human beings, there's all these different gifts that come. And some of the gifts are disguised as they come to us. They're disguised as challenges or attitudes that we didn't appreciate or didn't like. And, you know, there's always things about, you know, women and their mothers and men and their fathers and that all that energy that we can get all wrapped up in, rather than seeing that it's just an experience that happened. And what do we draw from that? What do we choose to make of it? What do we choose to do with those experiences to live in a different way? And there is a graphic that somebody sent me, and I love this. It says, you stand at the threshold of a grand adventure. The extent to which you experience the fullness of that journey is determined by the extent to which you let go of the scenarios that no longer serve you. It's so easy to keep telling the stories about what was wrong. But the word that kept coming to me this week was the word pivot. You know, when you pivot, there's a center point that you have established, but you're looking in a new direction. And to me, that's the opportunity that God gives us in every moment, that when we center ourselves in the presence of God, whatever it is that we're looking at, we can turn and look in a new way, to see ourselves in a new way, to see other people in a new way, to see the experiences of life in a new way, to see the possibilities that lie within us and before us in a new way, to pivot centered in God. Because when God is our center, then we're connected with all that God is, and it's able to move into us and to express through us in amazing ways, in ways that we won't figure out sometimes till later. But when we're centered in God, we have that connection, and whatever pivot we make, we'll always have that center point of that presence of God in our lives. Another way to look at it is this, is that God wants to create through you. God wants to create through you. If God is creator and we are created in the image and likeness of God, that means we're created in the image and likeness of being a creator. And so we're co-creators with God when we identify ourselves in that way and can live in that way in our lives. Part of our church prayer is this: thank you, God, for your continual infilling that establishes your kingdom of blessing on earth. This is part of my daily prayer, is to invite this infilling of Spirit that can move and grow until it overflows into the expression of life. And if we let this be our center point, if this be what we pivot on, then no matter what experience we're facing, we'll be able to feel ourselves with that sense of God's presence so that it's overflowing, so that it's working in our lives in a greater way. And if we're going to do that, then we have to open our hearts and minds to bring forth God's kingdom. To me, when I read the Gospels and I read Jesus' message, when he says the kingdom of God is at hand, what I get from that is it's waiting for us to give it expression. It's waiting for us to bring it forth. It's waiting for us to manifest it, to, you know, and that word manufacture and manifest comes from the word hand, mano in Spanish, you know, to bring it forth through what we do in life. That's what we're called to do, to live in our lives. When we're working on Wednesdays, one of the things we're doing in this prosperity series is I've asked those who are coming to define prosperity for themselves. And one of the women there defined it this way: prosperity is total well-being. And it's a wonderful definition because it goes beyond just about thinking that prosperity is about stuff or money or acquiring things, but about living in a way that's vibrant and alive, having that sense of living with faith in God and knowing that even though moment by moment there may be things in life that don't suit us, that we're constantly called to bring forth the next level of blessing. We're constantly called to create the next expression in our lives. And there's four parts that we've been looking at. 2 weeks ago, we looked at tithing as a way of being conscious of our connection with God. Last week, we looked at forgiveness as a way of letting go of the things that we don't need in our lives so that we make space for this week. We're going to talk about goal setting, for setting things in mind so that we can bring them forth. And then next week, we're going to talk about purpose, about letting ourselves be clear about what our purpose is. And I'll talk more about next week why that one's last rather than first. There was a doctor from Johns Hopkins University who said that worriers die sooner than non-worriers. And one of the factors that they found, one of the physical factors that they found, is that in general, those people who worry have smaller lungs. Because usually when we're in fear and we're worried, you know, we breathe with just the top part of our lungs rather than breathing with the larger part of our lungs. When we worry and we're fear, we contract. And so part of that having faith with is to recognize that we can expand our sense of connection, expand our sense of oneness, expand our sense of drawing on the presence of God, so that as we're filled with it, we can let it expand and grow in outer ways as well in our lives. Jesus instructed us this way. He said, "Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it will be opened for you. For whoever asks receives, whoever seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door is opened." Now remember, Jesus spoke in Aramaic, and this is translated to English, but I love acronyms. Ask, A-S-K, ask, seek, knock, A-S-K, right? When we are in that sense of recognizing, again, it's not about asking for things, but asking for total well-being, if that's what prosperity is to ask, to have that sense of being in the flow. There was a young girl named Laura Buxton who decided that she wanted to launch one of those balloons and to send it out and see where it ended up. So she put her name and address and phone number and everything on the balloon and sent it off. And it went 120 miles. And it was found by a little girl named Laura Buxton, another girl with the same name. Is that connection or what? And we recognize that if we look with the eyes of spirit, we'll find that there are connections everywhere in what we are. And so we're called to ask and seek and knock, not because there's something that we don't have. We're called to ask and seek and knock because there's something that we're already a part of. The kingdom of God is already with us, ready to be brought forth. I love the translation that says, "It is the Father's good pleasure to have given you the kingdom." It's already given to us for us to bring it forth. And so what goal setting does, it expands our souls so that we can see more, so that we can be more, so that we can bring more forth in our lives. And it's interesting how when we focus on something, things work, you know, because the cycle that I'm in right now is I'm planning, you know, my Sunday lesson, and then our Wednesday class is based on expanding that and having more time to work with some of the ideas. So Wednesday night, I'm done with that, and I'm starting to think about, you know, the next Sunday and the next Wednesday. So Wednesday night, I had a dream that I was leading an all-day workshop on goal setting. So I've got enough material in my mind for a whole day to teach on goal setting. But again, that's the gift that Spirit will give us. If we set ourselves and set a goal for ourselves, Spirit will fill what it is that we're trying to create with its energy, with its ideas, with its support, with its blessing. So our job is to set our minds towards something so that we can do that. Now, as we've been working on goal setting for our church with our board, John Fister, who is our board president, brought an interesting quote to us one time, and I wanted to share it. This is from Dwight D. Eisenhower. "In preparing for battle," and we can expand that to preparing for life, preparing for a meeting, preparing for meeting with your parents, for meeting, you know, whatever you're preparing for, "I've always found that plans are useless, but planning is indispensable." So what does he mean by that? He means that whatever plans you make, it's not going to work out exactly the way you planned. Have you ever found that? It doesn't work out the way that you planned. But if you didn't plan, you wouldn't be ready for anything, would you? And so planning sets our minds towards an openness, an expectation, a knowingness that we've got to do something different if we want to experience something different in our lives. So planning is indispensable, according to Dwight D. Eisenhower, and I think it is for us too. Don't get too attached to the plans, because they're probably not going to unfold just the way you thought. But when you're planning, you're putting energy in motion. You're bringing forth that kingdom in our lives. So my title today is Measuring True Success. So again, you know, there's that old story that says that on a person's deathbed, you know, the thing that they don't wish they had done more of was spend more time at the office. They wish they'd spend more time with their families, their friends, doing the things that they enjoy doing. And so true success, again, is not about accumulating a pile of stuff. That's fine. It's useful. It's helpful. We can, you know, use it in all kinds of wonderful ways. But it's about finding what value we have and what we want to develop in our lives. And once we begin to get that, then our scripture points us towards, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So to me, this is what goal setting is about. Not just about me, 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 me. What am I going to get out of this? It's about God, 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 God. What is God calling me to do? What does God want here? You know, we have that phrase we use sometimes, what would Jesus do? You know, what does God want in this circumstance? What does God want in this situation? Sometimes in our board meeting when we're discussing something, because we don't strictly follow Robert's rules of order where you make the motion first and then you have a second to the motion and then you have the discussion. We do the discussion first. And when we figure out what we want, then we make the motion in the second. And sometimes the discussion gets to the point where we realize we've got all these different ideas and there's nothing that's clear, and so we'll stop. And I'll lead us into a time of silence. And for a minute, sometimes 2 minutes, we'll just sit in the silence and just be receptive to God's ideas. Let our minds mingle with the mind of God. And then when I bring us back out of that into our meeting again, I'll say, okay, what did you get? And somebody said, well, I got this. And somebody said, well, I had an image of this. And somebody said, well, these words came to me. And all of a sudden, as all these different pieces come together, we look at it and go, well, why didn't we see it that way before? It's so clear and obvious now because we let go of our thinking and let that thinking of God begin to work in us. We can do that at any moment, at any time, in any experience, in any circumstance, in any activity that we're in. We can open that space for God to bring that clarity into our lives. And to me, that's what true success, and that's what we're called to, is continually lift up this process in our lives. So here's our affirmation today. God leads me to my greater good. Let's say that together. God leads me to my greater good. And again, God leads me to my greater good. So that's the experience that I invite you to be working with, that set that you have. This could be a way of articulating one of your goals, that I'm going to align myself so that God is leading me to my greater good. Another way to look at it is this. Goal setting helps get our lives moving forward. Because so many times when something happens, we go, oh, I don't know what to do. And we stop. And so the key is, what do you want? Ask, seek, and knock, and get that moving in our lives. So that's what we're going to look at, ask, seek, and knock. But we're going to look at it a little bit different way. But the first part is ask. Ask for God's plan to be working in you. God wants to create something through you, and so ask for what that is. Not just from a human perspective, from a divine perspective, what are the possibilities that are working in our lives? Sometimes we talk about, you know, having as being what our goal setting is about. But if we really think of this as the process that we want to have, what do we want to be? What do we want to do? And that creates what we have. If we're focusing on having, we may be missing the doing and the being. It's like saying, well, gee, I'd like to have you know, a big house. Or one of the kids I heard him talking, he said, I want to be rich. Didn't have any idea how he was going to do that, but I want to be rich. But it's like if you don't have a sense of who you are and what you're going to do, you're never going to be rich, right? So the being and the doing have to precede the having. And we have to see that process unfolding. So the goals are not so much about what we want to have, but who do I want to be? How do I want to see myself as a channel for the infinite? How do I want to experience myself as being open to what God is doing in life? That's a more important goal. I love what Andy Rooney said. I've learned that the easiest way for me to grow as a person is surround myself with people smarter than I am. And so we want to set a goal that we're going to put ourselves in a place where we're going to be supported for who we want to be rather than who we were. And so that may mean that we may not spend as much time with our biological family and more time with another group that's going to be supportive to us in that process. If you have a biological family that's supportive, great, but sometimes we don't. So one of the goals may be finding a place. And of course, this is part of what we do here is open ourselves to ideas that are going to lift us up. They're going to challenge us. They're going to help us grow in some greater ways in our lives. Because if we have an unfocused consciousness, then we're going to have unfocused energy and unfocused results in our lives. So to have that focus of spirit makes a difference. In the work of the Hicks, what's called the Abraham material, one of the things they talk about is having a vibrational signature, that we all have a vibrational signature, that whatever our consciousness is has a certain vibration. And when you show up someplace, you bring your vibrational signature with you. And so if you go someplace and there's chaos and stuff, and you go to another place and there's chaos and stuff, maybe it's you're bringing it with you rather than, you know, than blaming it on other people. And so what's the vibrational signature that you have? When you walk into a room, what's the energy that you bring? And again, if we're waiting for somebody else to change, something else to change, we may need to say, oh, maybe I need to change. And so to look at setting a goal for, I'm going to have a vibrational signature of love. I'm going to have a vibrational signature of peace. Even as my mom is going, rah, 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 I'm going to be peace. Yeah. And so it's recognizing that we have that choice and we can set that clearly in our minds about what it is that we want to create. In American Sign Language, the sign for goal is taking the idea and being seeing it in front of yourself and saying, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to put my energy. This is what I'm going to direct myself to. I'm going to direct my energy, my actions, my thoughts, my words toward that. What a wonderful sign, a wonderful way to see. This is what a goal is. Taking the idea and connecting it to what we want to do, what we want to be in life. I know when we were working with raising our children, particularly our sons, I was in the elevator yesterday. Neil McCurtis in the hospital again. We're blessing him, and he's supposed to come home today. But as we were coming down the elevator, there was a couple there that had, you know, two little baby carriers, you know, covered up. And I looked at them and I said, twins. And they said, yeah, we have twins. And I said, well, I know when we had twins, everybody kept saying, double trouble. And after 6 weeks of hearing that, it drove me crazy. I said, so I need to set a different vibrational signature. So I came up with the phrase, twice blessed. So when everybody said, double trouble, I'd say, nope, twice blessed. So I shared that with this couple, and they go, oh, thank you, because we're so tired of hearing double trouble. And so we have to set that for ourselves. What is it that we want? What is it that we create in our lives? So I remember with the boys, as they were particularly, you know, for us, sixth grade was the really hard time for them and for us and their experience in school. And so I kept trying to think, what's my goal here? And with the words that came to me, that your goal is to raise fully functioning adults. So that means part of what it is, they have to face some of the consequences of their behavior. But you also offer them some ideas of how they can do things differently, how they can create something different in their lives. And it was much better than just wanting to punish them for their bad behavior. It set a larger context for what my role was and what my expectations for them was. And so this idea of asking for God's plan helps us expand to something greater in our lives. There's another part to this as well, and any of you who've done any planning process know that they talk about SMART goals. Again, another acronym. This is not mine, this is somebody else's. The goal should be specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-based. So your goal should have a clear idea of what it is, and should be measurable in some way, that it should be attainable. If you set a goal for filling the Grand Canyon with whipped cream, that's a great goal, but you know, it's not very attainable. Relevant, something that's going to make a difference for you or for the people around you, and that there's some kind of time base. You're going to do it this week, this month, this year, this decade, whatever it is. Otherwise, it's just sort of a hope or a wish or a dream. But when you put a time on it, then that, you know, again, helps bring it to a point, brings it to a focus in our process. So ask for God's plan. Write it down. Ask yourself, what's the next thing that I need to do to make this thing happen in life? And then we'll find that that's what we're moving towards, that true success. The next part then is to see, and I'm sort of playing off the word seek. See God's good established. And this is the visualization part of it. To recognize that we want to take that idea and have it so clear in our minds that it's just so easy for it to come forth in our lives. To spend time seeing its fulfillment, seeing it completed. Again, another thing from the Abraham material, they talk about a spiritual escrow account. When we set a goal, when we create a desire, what they say is that you create a spiritual escrow account that says, okay, it's available. When you get to conceive of it, it's available. It doesn't mean it's coming forth right away. You've got to do that work to bring it forth. But once you conceive of it, in the mind of God, it's established, it's done, it's fulfilled. Our job is just to do that part of bringing it forth, do the work that it takes, find the energy and the resources and the people to help us, you know, make it happen in an outer way. But the spiritual escrow account is already established. And so visualization helps make us feel it being more real. Visualization helps us say, here's what it's going to smell like. Here's what it's going to taste like. Here's what it's going to sound like. Here's what it's going to look like. Here's what it's going to feel like for my experience in life. And so we make it real. And again, the power of imagination is amazing. And sometimes they say, it's just your imagination. Not much would happen in our world if it wasn't for people imagining things and then creating them. You know, we think of anything that we have, you know, this shirt, somebody imagined it first and then, you know, put it together. You know, the remote control for the computer. It's like somebody had to think, wouldn't it be nice if you didn't have to stand by the computer to do that? So I said, I think we can do that. How? Well, here's the site. And they had an idea and they brought it forth. So everything begins its manifestation process from the idea to the visualization of it to the expression of that. We have the phrase that says, well, I'll believe it when I see it. But the truth is, we'll see it when we believe it. That's the true pattern. That's how creativity works in our lives. And so spend time each day with your goals. Once you've written them down, spend time looking at them every day and then imagine them fulfilled. Imagine yourself already doing that. You know, feel the difference in your being as you do that. And then we go to the next part, to knock. And the way that we knock is that we speak the word, keep speaking the word of fulfillment. Because it's so easy to get distracted, isn't it? You know, I've got one of those smartphones. It's so easy to spend time, you know, looking at things, searching the internet. And it's like, there's times I just turn it off. Sit down, walk away, do something else, because there's other things that I need to do. I've got other goals that I want to accomplish rather than playing with my phone. It's not really one of my goals, but it eats up time. And so we have to be so clear and keep reminding ourselves, keep speaking that word again, because when we speak the word, it sets a vibration, first of all, in our physical form, but it also sets a vibration in consciousness as well, sets a vibration in the universe. So as we speak a word of life, life, life. When Cheryl and her group were doing the treasure map for the church, one of the phrases they put on there was vitally alive. And she said, because that's one of my songs, you know. It's one of my favorite songs. I'm vitally alive. I am vitally alive. I'm radiantly well. I radiate well. I say those words over and over again during the day because that's the experience that I want to have. And I have to keep reminding myself that, you know, after a long day of dealing with people and doing this and budgets and all those things, it's easy to go, but I'm vitally alive. So I can go to the meeting tonight. I'm vitally alive. I can go do that hospital visit. I'm vitally alive. I can do the things that need done. I can, you know, even dream at night about an all-day workshop doing on goal setting. You know, because there's a connection that I keep reminding myself and keep building into my consciousness. And so this is what we want to do. Again, that vibrational signature we want to establish so clearly and powerfully, so coherent, that that's what always is flowing from us in life. Again, it keeps coming back to that presence and power of God in our lives. Ask for God's plan. Seek that. See what it would be like. And to keep using your words to knock at that door of your consciousness until it opens so that it pours forth in your life. Take time each day with your goals. There's a wonderful book called Write It Down, Make It Happen. And again, it's not exactly that easy, but it begins with being clear that God wants us to bring forth more of the kingdom so that we can be radiant expressions of light and love and joy, so that we can do things that expand those qualities in the world, so that we can have not just stuff, but have experiences that are enriching, so that when we end the day, we can go, wasn't this an amazing day? Wasn't this a day full of blessings and joy? Why? Because you created them. You brought them forth. You made them happen because you're connected to God, and that's what God created you to do, to bring forth more of that kingdom in life. And so the measure of true success is that we find ourselves as God's instruments in every moment. So write down the goals. See them fulfilled. Speak that energy into expression, and you will find that God is doing amazing things through you. Let us pray. Dear God, we do give thanks for that sense, that joyous, powerful, transforming sense of your presence and power working in our lives. We know that every moment is vibrating with your ideas, with your love, with your joy, with your peace. And so we let ourselves vibrate with them and let vibrate through us new expressions of your gifts, of your life, of your radiance. Thank you, thank you, thank you, God. Amen.